Before Brother Rickard comes, we have a special trio that's going to come and sing for us this morning.
Glad that they had the opportunity this morning, and wow, Great week. We're having Vacation Bible School this week, and I want to just kind of touch up a little bit what Pastor talked about. We got kids in Bible school. We need more kids, and it's really awesome. I had several families come this morning and bring their kids. Really? Really? Right now? Hush. A Bible that's fallen apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Sorry about that. That was not planned. Some things are planned, but that was not planned. We're talking about giving God more, and those Akkas waiting for those for Nate Saint to come. And many tribes have cried out wanting God, wanting the truth about God. And it's awesome that that's what happened. Anyway, I just wanted to touch base about Ecuador again. Some of you might not have been here at the beginning. What a beautiful place to live, and the flowers and all those things that were there. But the fearfulness of the tribes around them, they were fearful of these warriors, the naked killers that would come and kill them. But God's love could make a difference, and these missionary men made that difference. And could it be done with Nate Saint and the little plane? How could that happen? Well, they had to find some place where they could go to land. And once they had found the Akkas, then they had to land. And so right now, if I could have someone by the lights that know what they're doing, we're going to turn off the lights and watch a short video. And so really pay attention and let God work in your heart. Okay? Here we go. I don't know why there's no sound. Hang on just a minute. You practice and you do it, and then speaker, that'd be the thing, wouldn't it? All right, here we go.
It happened here.
So what night of the day of the field?
They didn't shoot us.
I saw that.
I saw him jump the giant boa while he was still alive. I speared your father. Do it. No one took my father's life. He gave it. We can have the lights back. All right. I don't know, it hits me hard every time to know that these men were willing to die. And I had the kids gone for the most part because it was just so graphic that they were willing to do this and die. And the Bible says, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, and if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And then Genesis 50, verse 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And what a great story that we can do this week for the kids to realize that these men were willing to die for people. And the neatest thing was the bright beans in the sky. That was not something made up by media. That was something that those men that were on the beach that day, they saw bright beams in the sky when these men died. Now, you can believe what you want, but I believe the Bible is true, that there are angels, and there are special places where we go when we die, and it just shows, again, the truth, and so many people don't believe the truth. As a missionary, you think about the world, and I think about the blood on our hands of not being what we should be. Your church has always been involved with missions, and I have two colors here. And I had a volunteer, if you'd stand right there in the back. And can I get your little boy just a minute, see if he'd do this for me? Hey, come here, bud. You want to help me? All right, I want you to hold that. Can you hold that right there?
Hold it.
Grab this part right there, okay? Hold that right there.
Hold it just like that, okay?
All right, and I want you to run back to that guy back there, okay? Just grab his hand, Dad, and run him back there. There we go. Dad, you might have to hold that and just hold him at the same time, all right? Go, buddy, go. And go around him and come right back to me, all right? You say, what are we doing? We are taking a 300-foot roll of tape. Hey, bud, come on up here, quick, hurry. Go right around me too, all right? Hurry, go, go, go. And keep going, keep going. Pastor's going, he's doing it, man. He's really working this hard, okay? I usually have a lot more, somebody, that a teenager or something that could do this. And so I just found this awesome kid. He's going really good. Keep coming, bud, keep coming. Look at all this stuff. He'll probably never forget about doing this. All right, keep going, bud. Keep going. We're almost there. We're getting there. Hurry, go, buddy, go. He'll say, I want to stop, Dad. All right, Dad will pick you up and carry you, all right? And here comes one. We're almost there. Go, 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 go. Yes, go. And we're almost there with one more lap. Here we go. Man, I am all wrapped up now. Almost there. Here we go. Just kick it up to me, Dad. Step right through there and go right underneath. I got you. Just roll it right to, oh, there we go. That works great. All right, keep going. Keep going around me. And we are done. All right, thank you very much. I'll take that.
Can
we roll it that way? Thanks, bud. Appreciate your help. You say, what are you doing? 300 feet, all right? Just go ahead and drop it right there. 300 feet. If you take the population, where's my clicker here? If you take the population of the world, 7.9 billion, and you divide that by 300 foot and divide by 12 inches, that's 2,144 people per inch. Okay? That's a lot of people. All right? And then if we take 60,000 missionaries, I tried to eliminate those that weren't preaching the gospel, and I'm not even sure that's exactly right. But if you take 60,000 missionaries times 500, let's say in their ministry they win 500 people to the Lord. And some missionaries, they can't hardly win any because it's such a hard field. And other missionaries in Indonesia right now, in China, some places, thousands of people are getting saved, all right? But let's just say 500 times 60,000 missionaries, that's 30 million. And you take 30 million times 2,194,444,000, that's how big a piece here? Let me see. How big a piece do we have of the other material? About 13 inches. That's how many people will be saved during those missionaries' existence. You say, wow. And then the population increase every year is more than that. It's much more than that. So what's the hope of ever reaching the world? You see my point? It's pretty clear and very right in front of our face. But let me give you some positive, okay? Let's say the first year, every born-again Christian, which there might be 6% in the world. Some people say Christianity is much more than that. But as far as born-again, knowing Jesus, having a relationship with God, which is what the Bible talks about, let's just say 6% of the world is born-again. And let's say every one of these people witness to someone and they lead them to the Lord, just one in a year, and we train them to be a soul winner so they can win someone next year. So 6% 6% plus 6% is 12%, and then the next year, and then the next year, and in the fifth year, we've got 96% of the world. You say, well, that's not going to work. Well, I agree. When I was a kid, I heard something similar. You know, but if each one, if we don't even care to open our mouths all week long or all month long or all year long, and we never tell anybody about Jesus, what's going to happen? Well, it's not going to be 6%. It's not even going to be 1%. But if all of us, if we can, do our very best to trust, you know, trust the Lord, make sure we know where we're going, and then study enough to be, it doesn't take much. You know, most people that get saved is because someone else got saved and that person was so excited about it, they told their family. I went to one church, I think it was, and he said, Brother Tom, you got to come see our new directory. And I said, what's different about your directory? There's just something I want to show you. So he opened up the directory and showed us pictures of everybody in their church. And he said, you see this lady right here? When she got saved, she went that lady to the Lord, and then that lady, and then that family got saved. And it was really awesome. And listen, boy, that is convicting. You know, we can go to a restaurant and not say a thing. One pastor I was with, he goes, talking to the waiter, he said, we're going to pray and just, we're Christians, we're going to pray for our food in just a minute. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And when I've used that opportunity, almost always, they said, you're kidding. I said, no, we want to pray for you. And this one lady, she said, my daughter was just arrested, she's in jail, would you pray for her that she can get out, that we can work with her and help her with her emergency in her life? And I said, well, absolutely. And then we went back later and talked with her again. Folks, if we don't have enough fortitude to believe what we say we believe, then all these people are going to die and go to hell. Now, I don't know how to make it more clear than that, but if each one of us do our very best to witness and help others, then the world can be reached. But without us doing our part, unless us trying, it's a hopeless cause. And you can see, I mean, it's like, it goes on and on and on and on and on, and millions and billions of people aren't saved, and they're not going to even hear the truth. And what's really sad, that comes right down to it, my brother died this week, and my brother said, I can live without God, I can raise my kids, be good moral people without God. He told me this, I remember, when he left the church when he was 16 years old, I was 12. That's been a long time ago. And my brother died this week, and his family said, wasn't a religious man, so we're not going to have a religious service. And that's fine, I respect that. But I'm just saying, folks, unless we see the truth, unless we, even our own relatives, the family, the neighbors around us are not going to know the truth. And so we tell the kids, you know, bring your friends to Bible school so they can learn about God. And one kid brought his whole T-ball team. He had like 10 T-ball members there that week, and several of his friends got saved. But see, if he hadn't been aggressive enough to try to go get his team, nothing would have happened. So I'm just saying, I maybe you'll never forget this. I know a little guy will probably, in back in his memory, Dad was dragging him back and forth at the auditorium, and he'll remember something that maybe he'll never forget. But folks, I hope we don't forget it either. We look at our neighbor. We look at the person that was running down the road this morning when I was putting out the sign. You know, they're all around us, and most are without the truth. And so I'm just saying, maybe we should do a little bit more and try a little harder than we're trying. It's easy for an evangelist to say, yes, that's your job. You're supposed to go do that. Sometimes I don't do it either, to my shame. If I don't purposely put tracts in my pocket and try to get flyers and you know, as soon as I get to the church to go find my kids and my teens, I want someone to come. I want someone to get saved. And so that's our goal. And so, boy, I hope that you'll try hard. There's flyers out there. There's tracts in the back. I appreciate Pastor having a little packet that had the tract in there so we could go out and talk to Nate. This church does that a lot. You guys go out and do it all the time. But sometimes we forget our personal lives. We're also supposed to do it. And so I just thought that would be when I heard those statistics, I said, I can find a graphic. I found a really cool one. Isn't that awesome? The whole world right here. We have the opportunity to touch a life. And I pray that you'll do that. Okay? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, help us this morning as we get into the message and the things we want to get over today. God, just give me the wisdom and the ability, Lord, to speak and to say the things you want me to say. Help me not to say anything I shouldn't say, but to preach the word and tell the truth. And we'll thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. A long time ago, I started doing things on the screen. And the reason for that is sometimes you can get more across. And I could have said, you know, just the hands, but sometimes it really helps. And so I found this awesome PowerPoint, was able to add something to it. But the whole idea of the church sending out the light and the truth and all that, but to guide the way and the importance of fathers and mothers in forming their child's identity. I want to give a commercial, all right? Tonight we're going to start preaching on this, what we're talking about, identity. And boy, our identity and our society, is there an identity? I mentioned in the story this morning, I probably shouldn't have said anything, but tonight we'll be talking about birthing person instead of mothers. I just can't believe that our government is paying millions of dollars to go to a hospital to not call them mothers anymore or fathers, but to call them birthing persons. And when I was in my truck getting out the other day, they said the first couple that had opposite genders they were born with had their baby. And anyway, he was having trouble with milk and he or she couldn't. I'm just saying, identity problems? Our families are the ones that help identity, and the societies try to change our language. If they can change our language, they can change what we believe. And so I'm just saying we need to be careful. This morning's reading is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me. If you don't have a Bible, most of our scriptures will be on the screen. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, it's one of the passages that God gave instructions to parents on how we're supposed to raise our kids. And chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, from the very front of your Bible, the fifth chapter, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which your Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might be able to do them in the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command this day, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and all that the days may be prolonged. Now, look at me just a minute. First thing I've been telling the teenagers is, would you please open your face a little bit, your eyes, and look beyond what you want to do right now and look to your grandkids in the future? If you're not thinking of your grandkids and then your kids, you're not going to live right. You're not going to do right. You're just living for yourself in this world. And folks, to look ahead, now that I have a few grandkids, and we have a mother there in the back, and then we have the mom, and she's got this little beautiful girl that she can hold now as a grandchild. If I would have known how precious they were, I think I would have had them first. I heard someone say that once, and that makes a lot of sense. But you know what? I don't want to raise my grandkids. Oh my goodness, I almost can't hardly handle 4 and 5-year-olds, okay? So pray much for me this week. I love little kids, and I can entertain them for a little while, but then all of a sudden their attention span leaves, and I'm trying to pump information into them, and sometimes it's impossible, but just pray for me. But I'm just saying this, if we can't look far enough ahead to see our kids and grandkids and our great-grandkids, my brother Tim died on Tuesday or Wednesday, and his wife just is going to be able this week to see the for her first great-grandbaby, all right? She's looking forward to see, that's what my niece told me. My mom can't hardly wait to see her first grandchild. Great-grandchild, I mean. And so she gets to hold that little baby. The problem is so many of these kids don't even know the truth. They've never heard the truth. And the truth is that God loves them and cares for them. And it's our job as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. You get greater all the time when you have more kids. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, it's our job is to love these kids. But we can't change our great-grandkids, our grandkids. We can't even change our kids sometimes. We can't really have no responsibility over them other than doing what God tells us to do. And the Bible says, hear and observe it, and you go a little further in the scripture, verse 7, it says, and thou shalt teach diligently unto thy children. When you get up in the morning, when you walk by, when you sit down, you're supposed to teach your kids. You know what? That's like an impossibility. But the Israelites, when they got this instruction from God, you know what they did was they started going legalistic. And they were putting signs on their houses. And they were putting frontlets between their eyes, and they would hang things from their faces so they would remember to observe the things God said. But that's ritualism. And God wants us to teach our kids and to love our kids. And you can read later all the way to verse 18. But verse 17 says, you shall diligently keep. And verse 18, thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. So you say, well, this is to the Israelites. I know. They came out of a pagan country. They were slaves, and they were brought out of Egypt and brought into the land that God was giving them. Now, I'm not talking about Israel anymore. I'm talking about how God wants us as His holy people that trust in God to follow the same commandment to love our kids. So you can look at the future view of what you think is going to be. There's a couple in our church that has 6 kids within 6 years. Now, I'm not sure quite how they did that, but it was like boom and boom and boom and boom. Oh, I'm sorry. You said every time I come, there's another baby, all right? I remember you said that yesterday. But this looks just like the couple in our church, okay? She just got a haircut, and she looks like on the left, and he's on the right. He's got, actually, his hair's a little short. But anyway, it's kind of come and gone. But anyway, the future view. This is a cloudy version. But the idea of a clear vision of what God wants for your life, you say, this is what I want for my kids. But, you know, most of the time we don't see the future like we should. If we're not thinking, brother, just a minute ago I passed you by and I said, this is your daughter. And you said, yeah, and she's going to be gone. I mean, it was like you already are starting to see the clarity of your kids aren't here very long. My daughter, I just can't believe how that all that changed. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And there's all kinds of lifetime experiences that are coming that if we're not looking for these and we're not planning for these, you say, well, I got insurance people that talk to me all the time about saving for their college. And there's no way we can do all that. We can definitely plan some things and hopefully we can trust God. But the first thing I remember, there's me on the boat, okay? I got my briefcase right there. 1985, the birth of my first child. And then shortly after that came, just like unbelievable, 2004, the first one graduated from high school. And then the second, then the third, then the fourth. And then the college, first one graduated from college, then the second, then the third, then the fourth. And then came marriage in 2012, and the first one got married. Then the second one, I never thought the second would get married. Then the third, finally he got married, Nathan. What a struggle and trouble. I never thought he'd look at another girl, personally, okay? Some of you know Nathan. But Nathan, he fell in love, and then that girl broke his heart, and then he fell in love again. And this time, he said, what got me the most was he had this poem called The Path. And I read it to you a long time ago, but it said, my path was destroyed. I had no idea where the future was going to hold, except I looked ahead and I saw God. He was destroyed by that girl. But you know what? His focus wasn't on the girl. His focus was on the future. And he got married. And then the neatest thing, of course, was the grandkids. In 2013, the first grandkid. Then we have 6. And Nathan and Mary, neither one have kids, but they want kids. So I don't know where it's going to go. You say, well, you've done all this. No, because right over here coming in the picture is the most important person in the process, and that's my wife, okay? And I can't overstate it. I definitely have understated it so many times. But unless we're thinking about the experiences coming, there's no way we're going to focus on what we need to be thinking about. And I can't say I did anything. I tell everybody says, your kids turned out so well, Brother Tom. I said, it had nothing to do with me. But the Scripture says they need to choose. And I told them right at the beginning, if you don't make the right decisions, it doesn't matter what I do. You're going to fail in life. And you make the right decisions, God's going to bless you for that. What are our responsibilities as parents? Number one, and I enlarge this so you can see it better, what is that? It's not a hairdryer or a mirror. That sometimes I think we need to inspect ourselves a little more, but it's a microscope. And you know, not a microscope, what do you call them? Magnifying glass. Okay, thank you very much. But the idea is to give them away. If we don't give them away, we can't even start. You say, I just got them. How can I give them away? That's why most Baptist churches, we don't baptize our kids because they're not old enough to make that decision, but we do give them to the Lord. That's the whole idea, is give them to Him. Jesus said, there is no man that hath left You get the idea here. Left house and brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold. And if we give our kids back to the Lord and we give our family to the Lord and give our lives to the Lord, you know what? God's going to bless that. And I can testify that God has blessed my family because I gave God what he needed. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, and his wife and children. The idea of hate here is not hate your family, but the idea of loving God so supremely, you've heard this before, that the hatred is not hatred, but the difference, the comparison of love of God should be so great, it looks like we hate our kids. We don't hate our kids, we love our kids. But the idea of loving God supremely, that means I'm going to do what's right with my kids and love them to the Lord, most importantly, than anything else. Be not children in understanding, in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Grow up, man. We're supposed to have that parental responsibility of training our kids and training them right. Secondly, not just give them away, but to teach them. Line upon line, precept upon precept, the Bible says. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Isaiah 54:13 says, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. When you give it to the children and they make the right decision, there'll be great peace. Look again right here. If thy children shall keep my covenant and my testimony. Do you see the word if? It has nothing to do with you. You say, but God's going to bless and God's... Listen, it all comes down to the choice of that child. Now, I can train them, I can raise them, I can tell them what's right, but until they make the decision to follow God, it's hopeless. I can't do anything about it. But if they will keep this, then their children shall sit upon thy throne forevermore. That's really cool. My grandkids are going to turn out okay if my children make some good choices. So not only give them away and teach them, but also when it comes to praying for them. Again, I enlarged the chart right here. If we can't track our emotions about how much we pray, you know, sometimes we don't pray at all for our kids. We're so busy. My wife prays more than I can even think about praying, okay? But the Bible says pray without ceasing. And so wherever I go, whatever I do, I should be in prayer for what I'm doing, and it'll glorify God and bless my kids. But pray for them continually. Cry out in the night. Boy, many times I just didn't know what to do. And cried out to God. And pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands up toward Him for the life of their children. Also in Malachi it says, and He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Isn't it good that we don't have to worry about, well, you'll see in a minute, we're not supposed to provoke them. But we don't have to worry about the turnout, because if we do what's right, God's going to help turn their hearts back to us in love. And the Bible says, do not cry for their tears. That's one verse I remember from my childhood. My mom would say, look, I can't worry about how you feel right now. You're doing wrong and I need to correct that. And I cried and I cried, and mom would hold me and love me, and you know, that's good. Okay? And God was going to take care of the heart. Number four, to pass on information. You know, that bright moment that everything is like, yeah! When I've taught Christian school and school before with the kids, when I could give them enough information that they go, I got it, Brother Tom. And all of a sudden it starts to click in their minds, just like a teenager or a kid, when they finally begin to understand what God said. That's what I'm talking about. And passing that along to the kids. Tell your children of it. And let the children tell their children and their children another generation. What's going on in our country? We can't hardly tell what we want to tell. So, not only those things, but provoking not your child. See the brain? We usually see that kind of picture when there's been a concussion. And boy, and you know, it's a very serious thing. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. But provoking a child, it says children obey, but then it says fathers provoke not your children to wrath. There's times in my raising my kids that I had to apologize to my kids. I said, hey, Josh, I got way too angry, and I'm sorry. What you did was wrong, but it did not excuse what I did, and I was wrong. And if we can't admit our sin to our kids and say, God convicted me of this and I did not do the right thing, you know what? There's no way they're going to follow God, because they say, look at your hypocrisy. You see where I'm going, okay? Children, obey your parents in all things. It's well-pleasing. But fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. How many of you have been discouraged in your lifetime because of mom and dad? Man, just like, Dad, I can't believe you did that. And you didn't really want to look at him again. We all experienced that. My dad was pretty rough. But you know what? I'm glad I had him because he always took me to church. He was always passing out things to kids and getting them to come on the bus route. Then lastly, not only provoking not, but bring them up. It's the idea of a briefcase and information. And I want them to learn. And I'm going to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's where it says provoke not, but bring them up to what? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Following God and doing what's right. So important. And then teach them stuff. I just like that. Stuff. You know, kids don't get very much today. I'm so encouraged when I see a dad taking his kid out to teach him how to cut with a saw, the old-fashioned saw. You know, and now I taught my son with the power equipment, and so then I really had to be careful. But we were down in a church in Texas in January, and they wanted to take this pulpit, and not this one, but just like they had, and we had to sand everything down. It was oak, and they wanted to sand it all the way down and then paint it. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. But there was some of the oak that just didn't go with the other oak. Whoever made it just wasn't thinking, so it didn't look very good. And so, but my grandson was there with us, and I gave him a power sander. Don't worry. And I was watching him, and I got him going the right way. I said, be careful now. It'll take off on you. It wasn't that powerful, but the idea of him working and learning things. But we got to teach him stuff. All kinds of different stuff. And that's dad's side, the masculine, but also mom's side, the feminine. You know what? I appreciate when I hear a single mom going, I'm a single mom. I say, oh, I'm sorry. And what they want to hear is, I'm a single mom. And oh, good, good job. You're doing a great job. You know what? It's almost impossible for a single mom or a single dad to raise a kid on their own. And so we need to come behind them and give them all the help we can give them. And I think that kind of hits the target, okay? Let's see, will he hit? Yep, right, direct shot. And yep, again, just like right there. You say, Brother Tom, what you're saying makes sense, but it makes sense. We just need to do it. You know, some of us are like this, you know, like, never hit the target, man. My kids aren't turning out right. Well, don't blame yourself. Just say, God, I can't do this by myself. And God, give me the wisdom, and that's where the church comes along. This church has always been there for families and having special Sunday school classes and special training sessions. My pastor did all he could to help our families in our church in Wheatland, Wyoming. And in 1 year, we had like 8 couples. We only had like 90 people in our church at the max. And like 8 couples got divorced. And my pastor, he said, oh, I just can't believe it. I've had special marriage classes. I've had information classes to teach them how to get along and financial classes, how to handle your money. And most of the people that needed never showed up. And it's so sad. But you know what? We need to hit the target for a change. Teach them diligently and talk of them. And when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when you lay down, everything should be focused on teaching the kids. Bind them upon a sign upon thine hand, the frontlets between your eyes, just like the passage I pointed to a minute ago. But let's go on. So I really liked this slide. I thought it was really cool. Because here comes Dad, and you can see all the fog around him. You know what? We're living a bad society, and the fog is so dense. And Dad's on the alert. And Dad's looking for problems. The girls are just, brother, wait till they get teenagers, okay? He's shaking his head. And when you'll think about your hair all leaving because you're going like this all the time. And it's going to leave even worse, okay? It won't even last on the beard. Oh, there he goes up there. I was shocked when I came in. He had this huge beard. I said, did you put that on for me just today? Y'all look back there in the sound booth. It's like that long a beard. I'm going, did you wear that just for me? He said, yep. And he act like he was taking it off. But the dad alert, you know, to just find the right way to go. Family, we don't know what's happening. I lost my job, but you know what? We're going to find our way. We're trusting God. We can't understand what just happened, but God will help us do it. And you know what? That makes the difference. And of course, probably mom is more important, okay? Because mom sees things in the guys that her daughters want to date. She sees things that most people don't see. You know what? It's so important for moms the same way to help the kids find the way. I got to hurry. So there's also some lurking hazards. You see the rocks? If we don't let our kids know about these things, and some of us, yeah, brother, he's nodding his head back there, because you know what? If we would have known some of this and we would have thought about it a little bit more, but you guys in the back row over there, you know, you're like, it's going to be there one day. Maybe if some girl will even put up with you guys. What guy would not? I'm talking to both of you. What? Hey, brother, when you're standing over here this morning, I'm going, what girl in her right mind would not want that guy, okay? I'm just saying. So, and that's the problem. It's just, they don't make any sense, these women, all right? But when it comes to lurking hazards in our kids' life, you say, I have to wake you up. This is detailed information. Wait till tonight. It's like, oh! You know, you're supposed to preach to people like they're in fifth or sixth grade. So I've got pictures for you, okay? But listen, if you're not getting this, it's not going to do you any good. Because when it comes to the flesh, I'm telling you, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, forget about raising your kids right. You're just going to do your best to try to do it. It's not going to work. But if God helping you, you can do a better job at it. And then when it comes to the next thing, the hazard in life and neglecting the spiritual things. You know what? We'll have the baseball, we'll have the music. I mean, none of those things are bad. We'll have the basketball. But even in the story this morning, Nate Saint was intelligent enough to say, you know what, coach? Basketball, I love basketball. But the important thing is being at church. This evangelist is going to help my life. When I was a teenager, I'll mention this tonight again, but when I was a teenager, the best thing I ever did was take basic youth conflict seminar. And it told me how to handle the basic youth conflicts that I'd be dealing with in my life. And it all pointed back to the Scripture. And that was what was so awesome. If we neglect the spiritual, we're going to have lots of problems. And then next comes the wrong friends. You say, well, every preacher preaches about this. And it never gets across. It just seems like, why do we allow that kid to mess with my kid when their life is so messed up? You say, well, I can't control their friends. Yes, we can. Because if we don't, we're going to be sorry and going, why did I let that guy? My kid is dead now because that kid was so careless. He killed my kid in a car. Well, you could have started a long time ago and taught your kid not to be with those friends. And the Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I want my kids to be around the right kids. Now, all of you know my kids. They grew up coming here. And my kids would never shun somebody else. I don't care race or creed or color or anything. They would never shun anybody else. And Becky was always open and friendly to every girl, whether she looked like a prostitute or not. And some girls just dress that way. Mom doesn't do anything about it. And my daughter would always love them, but she would not let them control what she was going to do. She would not let them tell her what she was going to wear, but she would help them. I'm just saying. It wasn't my choice. It was my daughter making these choices of not letting her friends change her. And then lastly, when it comes to the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the Father, and you can go on, and Scripture after Scripture says we're not supposed to love the world. And that's what most teenagers do because they're resisting what we're trying to tell them. It's only a natural thing. That's what causes kids to leave their parents' home and get married and start their own home. That's God did that, okay? So one of these days, your kids, you're going to have trouble with your kids because God's moving them and God's encouraging them to get away from you, okay? But you should still be their best friend all the way through their life. And that's so important. But then, quickly, I can do this one. It's really simple. Set a firm foundation. You all know this, okay? It's just simple things. Number one is the Bible, how important the Bible is. It tells us what's right and wrong. Without that foundation, we'll be like the liberals in our country, where what do we know is wrong? There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, there is. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, there is. And there's consequences to all that. And I'm preaching to the choir here. You all know what I'm saying. You don't want your kids to do the things that the world's doing. But that's why the Bible is so important. And then when it comes to salvation, knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God. I believe God is real. The angels are real. I don't understand it all. But I would rather not understand it all and enjoy that kind of life with good morality and good teaching and loving my kids, because the Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and if I love the Lord, I'm going to love my kids that He gave me. I'd rather have that life than say, there is no God. We were just made by evolutionary processes, and so I have to want to answer to God. You know what? When it comes to salvation and knowing God, I'd much rather go that way. Even if it's not true, I'd rather go that way. And there's too much evidence to prove to me that it is true. And then the next thing would be baptism. It's not that important, right? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with our salvation, but baptism is there to help us take a stand. So you get saved, and then you get baptized because God said to do it. It's like leaving your old life behind, and you come up anew. And that's what this church believes about baptism. And then when it comes to church, you say, well, where's family? Well, family's right up there. But if you haven't got your church established as a young couple, all right, back there in the back, you know, it's great. I met you this morning. And if you haven't got this relationship right as church, family is going to be second. Second? God doesn't expect our family to be second. But God wants us to have a good foundation and church being part of it. And then when it comes to family, and then, of course, lastly, it comes to service. Because if we're not serving God and telling our neighbors about God and loving our neighbors, when was the last time you took some cookies over or talked to your neighbor? If you haven't got some kind of relationship going with them, they don't even know you. That's the guy that stole my lawnmower. Man, if you borrow something and it breaks, you got to buy a new one. That's my philosophy. I can't borrow anything unless I know I can buy a new one if I have to. That's why I go out, and if I can, go ahead and buy without asking him. But when he borrows from me, I say, come on now, take care of it. And I'll go help him with it too, all right? But get the heavenly vision. And God, and this is important. I'm going to talk about this tonight. Stop trying so hard. Because it's not you that's supposed to do this. It's God helping you do it. And that's what Pastor, I'm sure, has been preaching. My pastor, man, for 5 weeks I'm studying up, getting ready for my message this summer, and every message he's talking, just exactly what I was going to talk about to the church when I got back there to have Bible school a few weeks ago. Surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can't say it enough. God is real, and He'll guide us, and He'll help us and encourage us. All right, lastly this morning, I have the last little series of a few words, okay? First of all, mercy. What kind of reward is mercy? Look at this verse. The Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. You know what? God will forgive everything I do wrong if I'm willing to confess it to Him. And raising my kids, it was the same way. And you know what? There was a great reward in being a father. I can say that now, because when I was not a father and I had no kids and I was a principal of the school and all these parents were bringing their kids in and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have kids yet. It's still the same as it was that day. I still had the knowledge from God, and it was true. And when they did what was right, their kids turned out all right. If they didn't listen to what the Bible said, the kids didn't turn out right. Because God is of great mercy. We'll talk about that in just a minute, okay? Secondly, righteousness. The Bible says, but the mercy of the Lord, which is the first thing, from everlasting to everlasting upon all them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children. Again, the grandkids. That is the most awesome truth of the fact. All right, and this is even better, all right? Because then we have arrows. Arrows. Arrows? If I'm a warrior, I need arrows. So I know we don't have arrows today. We have bullets today, okay? Or we have cars, or we have money, or you know, whatever the reward that you want to think about. But the Bible says the children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. When I was younger, Pastor, and I first came here, and I had two kids, and then I had the next kid, I had kids that would start helping me. Wow, what a great pleasure it was that they could actually help me carry the boxes and set up the airplane and all the things. And now Josh is building his own airplane this morning, all right, and doing things for the Lord. But children of the youth, you know what? I'm a mighty man because I have kids to help me. You say, well, I never had kids. You know what? That's a privilege of being a Christian too, all right? Because there's some call not to have kids. And they adopt kids, and they help kids. There's some families we know, they love my kids, and they were such an influence on my kids, but they couldn't have kids. It was such a blessing to see that. And some people don't even get married. You know, that's fine. God gives you that ability to not have to succumb to the flesh and have that fulfillment in marriage. That's so obvious in marriage. But you know, some people don't need that. And so they can be single their whole life. And there's people in the scriptures that were like that, and they were able to do great things for God. And then, not only arrows, but I like this one too, inheritance. You're going to like this, because I told my kids this not too long ago, and they said, what? A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. So I said, forget about your inheritance, I'm going to give it to my grandkids, okay? Whoa, they didn't like that part, okay? Not that I have a whole lot to give them, but I'm saying, you know what? Our grandkids don't need money. They need example. They need they do need a hand up sometimes. Mom and dad are pretty stingy. We don't have it very often. Man, I struggle to give my kids things that they really needed. But God always seemed to come through at the right time. I could give you illustration after illustration, but let me give you this one. My daughter wanted a kitchen, plastic kitchen. What can you do with a plastic kitchen? But she was 5 or 6 years old. She saw this at my friend's house. We were over there. She had all the vegetables and the pans and the pots. And she wanted a kitchen. She said, Dad, I need a kitchen. I said, your mom's in the kitchen right now. Go help her. You know, no, that wasn't... No, she didn't want to do that. I said, honey, I don't have any money to buy you a kitchen. And she said, well, Dad, I need a kitchen. And so I did my very best to try to get her a kitchen. And I couldn't find any at garage sales. I couldn't find any anywhere. I found this beautiful pink bike. It was, it was way too tall for her as being 5 years old or whatever she was. But it was $5, almost a brand new bike. And I said, I got to buy that. And maybe my daughter will grow into it or something, you know. And I bought the bike and my daughter wasn't interested at all. And so I remembered my friend. And that we went over to the house and she saw that kitchen. I remembered his daughter was about 9 and she played with the kitchen with my daughter and everything. And then I realized maybe she doesn't like her kitchen. So I said to my friend, I said, hey, does your daughter have a bike? And he goes, no, we've been looking for a nice bike for her. And I said, guess what? And he said, really? And I said, yeah. And he said, talk to your daughter and see, it's already a done deal, he said. She hates that kitchen. I said, okay. And so my daughter came in the yard and she saw this kitchen set up with all this stuff. She goes, Dad. I said, it wasn't me. It was God. But I'm telling you, the rewards are something that's unbelievable. And then lastly, great kids. And you can look at the scripture in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, and I got you shaking your head. You're going to be sad about that. Because not all the kids in Daniel chapter 1 were no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, had ability. You're going to find out with your kids and with your kids and with your... You don't have kids, but you're going to have kids probably. If you do have kids, you're going to find some kids no ability at all with that kid. And then that kid, wow, that kid shines, you know. And what I'm trying to say is you have to understand you don't see their abilities. But it's not the abilities with no blemish, well-favored, skillful. You know what? It's not what you see. It's what God can do with them. And some kids are handicapped. They're born with... This one girl I knew, she had a little hand that was attached to her elbow. And the first thing I did was shake hands with her. She said, nobody shake hands with me. How can we not shake hands with someone that wants to shake hands with other people? And I don't know. I'm just that way, you know. And I didn't want to embarrass her. But at the same time, I said, can I shake your hand? She said, yes, you can. And I didn't know she had been wanting someone to shake her hand. But we don't understand, folks. Some people that have handicaps and problems in their life are going to do greater things for God than anything else. And Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did some great things for God. And folks, when I come around and I see your kids walking in truth, Matthew, there's nothing better for me than to see you, what I've known you all your life, and so many others like that, and to see that you're serving God and you're doing the right thing. There's nothing better than that. And the last verse, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. That's not talking about my kids, my four kids. If you look at that passage in 3 John, he's talking about those that he led to the Lord and see them grow in the Lord and walk in the Lord. It's great to see your own kids doing right. And it's especially a test when you send them over to the neighbor's house and they come back and they say, man, your kids are the best behaved I ever saw. And you go, really? I thought, man, they never obey me. But they always obey the neighbor. That means you're doing good. You're training them right. And you're saying, God, help me. And God helps you. But if we haven't got the right view, that future view is all cloudy and we don't see the truth of what God can do. Some of us are looking at the future right now, our job right now, our house right now, our car right now, and we're not looking at the future what we're supposed to be looking at. And God wants to take that and just kind of clear it up. I just love that picture, how it does that. Do you mind if I do that again? I've watched this several times. You know, I just like seeing it. It all kind of evaporates. The light comes from God. And you say, it's like a fairy tale existence. Have you ever been to Disney World? Where you leave and all the fireworks are going off and you're like, wow, I can do anything. And then you all of a sudden the guy runs you down trying to get to the car and you got to... The Disney World experience is not what they say it is. We'll be talking a little bit more about that tonight, okay? But I'm saying God's view from the Scriptures, what a difference that makes in our life if we realize God's not out to control us and make us like little robots. He's trying to say, I got this great plan for you, but you keep getting in the way. And that sin, that's going to be hard to overcome. And you know what? So many teenagers I know, they're trying to live for God, but man, the baggage they're pulling behind them. I'm just saying, we're going to have to start making right decisions, teaching our kids that way. And some of you, it's too late for your kids, but it's not too late for your grandkids. And it's not too late for the future of what God's going to do. So, I'm just saying, if any man beget 100 children and live many years and his soul be not filled with good, I say, then untimely birth is better than he. That scripture I mentioned at the very beginning of being long, God is on long-suffering and great mercy, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Wow. Our country right now, we're so wrapped up in traditional identity of doing it because it's always right to do it instead of having the gospel or the scriptural identity, the mystery of Christ. Unless we're focused on the right way, we can go to church all we want to. It's not going to change anything because most of the kids in church leave and they go live a ungodly, wicked lifestyle. You know why? Because it was never real in the beginning. And how important it is for us to make timely decisions and right decisions. And tonight, oh boy, it's going to be so cool, but it's going to be a little heavy. Okay? So we have a booklet we're going to give to on Wednesday night. And you say, well, we're not going to be here Wednesday night. This is your church. This is your Bible school. Okay? And if you want to come to the preaching with the teens, Monday night it's 8 o'clock, Tuesday night it's 8 o'clock, Wednesday night it's 7 o'clock, maybe 10 till 7. As soon as we can, we get started in that because we have water night and we don't come back in the building. And we have a syllabus so we can give you some ideas and help with that. And we'll have that ready for you, all right? But I'm not going to give it out till Wednesday night. So if you want to get one, you have to be here. And you can be here if you want. The teenagers will be up here and you can sit wherever you like. A lot of people do that here at this church. And some people leave and never come back till next Sunday. And all of a sudden the decorations are gone. And that's fine. Next week, Pastor will be here. And Pastor Nate will be here. And playing, that was awesome. You know, if we can have that kind of peace in our life and that joy in our life, we'll be okay. All right? And there's many people that have left this church and gone out to other bases and other places. And you know what? They're still serving God, and we'll just keep on keeping on. I don't see how you do it. I don't see how you keep the lights on. But you know what? It's awesome to see new families come, grow in the church. New families come, grow in the church. Teenagers come, see some great things happen. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Amen. Let's bow for prayer. God's working on your heart this morning. God by no means is clearing the guilt of those that want to do wickedly. And it's going to be a sad day in heaven, sad day in hell, when all this stuff comes to pass and we see it all end. It's going to be a pleasant day as we follow the Lord and see everything He said come true. Lord, I pray for these folks this morning. And Lord, there's so many things that we seem to can't do right. And with our kids the same way. And God, many times I shook my head and I said, if they turn out right, it's not me. And it's so true. It can't be me. It has to be you, God. And I pray that we might do our very best to surrender to you and let you work through us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the screen one more time. Right there in the middle, He's by no means clearing the guilty and visiting the iniquity upon those children in the future. You know what? Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus said, suffer the little kids to come unto me. And that's the most important thing. This pathway, we're just going to leave there for this morning, but this pathway kind of shows the world in that little stretch, you know. That's how many will be saved. For those 60,000 missionaries getting 500 people saved. Wow. We have a job to do. And if God spoke to your heart this morning, I hope you'll maybe sit where you are and pray for a second or come forward. But the pastor has the invitation. Let's stand, please. I'm going to run and see the kids in just a minute. They'll be ready to come when you're ready to leave. And we'll be seeing in just a few minutes.
Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we ask that you would just work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be willing to submit to whatever you would share with us and show us. And Lord, guide and direct. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, maybe you would say, you know, Brother Tom talking about having our sins forgiven, having the knowledge of going to heaven when we die. Maybe there'd be somebody here who says, I'm not too sure if I'm saved. Or maybe there's someone here that maybe God is dealing with you and you say, you know, I just need to ask God to forgive me, to deal with some things in my life. Whatever your need may be, we're not going to have a long invitation, but the pianist is going to play. And when she does, if God is dealing with you, you can kneel at your seat, you can come to the front, whatever your need may be. As the pianist plays, you respond to him. This way.